from the one side of minimizing the chet, which Rishonim do in explaining that, you know, it came from the Erev Rav, it wasn't the Avodah Zarah, they were looking for a manhig and so on, but there wasn't a kud of chet, and that's a sheirish, what the chet was exactly, even if it wasn't Avodah Zarah mamish, it was of Avodah Zarah nature, and to identify exactly what the chet is and where it's relevant and so on, is the kud we want to try to do. Chazal say that Vayar Om Kiboshis Moshe, Tugmar Shabbos, Atri Kiboshis Ol Boshesh, Bishosh Ol Moshe Lamarim Amalan Yisrael, Lesefar Boim Yoim, Betchila Shesh Anibo. At the end of 40 days, the Satan came and he said, where's Moshe? Vilay Amalan Ol Lamarim, and so on and so forth. That's how it happened. So Rashi explains, well, where was the mistake? He says, "Kishol Meshlahar." He said, "Lasof Mem Yomani Ba." V'Toch Shei Shos. They thought that the day that he went up counts as one of the days, and he said, "Mem Yom Shleimim," which is Yom V'Laila Imo. It's the day with a night with it. In other words, you need an entire 24 hours, and therefore the Yom Aliyah Lamala is Ein Leila Imo. So it should have been a day later. That's what Rashi says. It's very similar. So first of all, Chazal present in a lot of averis. You present the aver itself and the cheshbon that led up to it. There was a mistake. So it's obvious that in the mistake itself, there lies something in it that is shayach to the aver itself. The mistake of the day and the cheshm, that was kind of something that misled Klai Yisrael and gave them the ability to do the avera. One would understand that in such averas like that, the mistake itself has in itself the reach of what was to come. I mean, L'chur seems like a very sort of a misunderstanding. He said 40 days and they thought it starts today, starts tomorrow. The Maral says always, Dvorim Gedolim are not b'mikra. Could have been any other mistake. The Maral could have been cloudy. Rashi says it wasn't cloudy. It wasn't the Yom Munin and so on and so forth. There's another place where you have the Yom V'Laila Imo, and that's where you have the, by the Hachana, by the Shesmi Akbala, Hoisiv Moshe Yom Echad Midaitoi, that the Yom should be with the Laila Imo. So it resonates one with the other. There was a Hoisiv Moshe Mechad Midaitoi, and anyone who has an ear understands that the Hoisiv Moshe Yom Echad Midaitoi is Torah Shebal Peh. There was a sense of Torah Shebal Peh to that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant was three full days, the Yom V'Leilo Imo, and And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that that becomes part of Torah. And here we have the same type of mistake where you have what's called a day should be a complete day, and so on. So one needs to understand that the Sheirish of the Tos lies in that area specifically. And we're going to need to understand what is exactly the mistake. In other words, on which ikar of Amuna did it come? The Moshe Rabbeinu afterwards was shaver the luchos when he came down. He broke the luchos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him Yashakor Sheshibarta. The act of Shvias HaLuchos, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, he brings a chazal, a medrash, and he asks, why is it an exemplary act? At the end of the day, if he felt Klai Yisrael was not worthy of getting the Torah, he gives it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not his luchos. It's like if somebody sends you as a messenger to deliver something to somebody, and you see the person doing something inappropriate, whatever it is, you don't throw away the thing. You bring it back to the person that gave it to you. Shvias HaLuchos in itself should not be the reaction. Rabbi Chai speaks about it, and we'll try to pick up on the Nakuda that he says. But and Shvi'as Haluchas has itself also that type of flavor, where you see that he did it midaitoi. Moshe was sheva midaitoi, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him Yasha Koicha. It's kilu a stamp of approval post facto. After it was done, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stamps his approval on it. It was a Torah Shel Pe that was even without a drasha. The Yom V'Layla Imo is there, it comes with a drasha. Mahir it's Yom V'Layla Imo. Here it's Yom V'Layla Imo. This was like just a maizah. And Torah finishes with that. I mean, it's an astounding thing. The schosim of Torah is le'enei kol Yisrael, you know, that he was v'shabes aluchos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you know, yash kochacha d'shabat aluchos. With that, we finish Torah. So the act of shviras aluchos is not a particular tikkun like killing out the people there and being mashke them esoita. Those are all things that were done. And they're part of the parasha of Chet Egel, but they're certainly not the chosemis of Torah. Torah finishes with the grandest, the Torah says, and the climax of Torah is the greatest act Moshe Rabbeinu ever did. He broke the luchas, yasha koyach. That's how Torah ends. And it's a davar mafli ma'oid. Why is that the chosem of Torah? The Chazal say, it's a medrash, that with the breaking of the luchos, it says the loshen is v'yagid lecha talumos chachma. HaKadosh Baruch will reveal to you the hidden things of chachma ki kiflayim litushia, because the eitzah will double. It's a pasuk in Iyov. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe al titztayer beluchos harishonos shehoy aseres hadibros levad. Don't be mitztayer that you broke the first luchos that were broken, because all the first luchos had asas hadibris. Ubaluchos hashniim ani noisin lecha sheheben halachas medrash vagodas. And luchos shniyas has in itself halacha medrash nagodas. So it's not clear exactly what is, you know, it can't mean lechura. It can't mean that there was no Torah Sheval Peh in the Luchos Rishonos. I mean, Torah Sheval Peh had to come with it, but there's a malusa, something in Luchos Shnias that produced Torah Sheval Peh in a way that Luchos Rishonos didn't have it. There are different ways to go. One could say that the Luchos Shnias contained the first discrepancies that bring about Torah Sheval Peh, Shama V'Zachar, and so on and so forth. I don't know, but like upon him, there's an inyan in Luchos Shniyos which is twice as much as Luchos Rishonos. One more nekuda. It says that the Erev Rav was the ones that were Gorim the Chet. That's what Rashi brings, Shichas Amcha, Amcha Vle Ami, you were the ones that included them, and so on and so forth. It's the Erev Rav that's to blame for it. It's true, yes, you know, Klal Yisrael's weaker elements was the Erev Rav. It was Mitzrayim and so on and so forth. But in particular, so it was a throwback to Avodah Zorah maybe, but in particular, in this Cheshbon over here, about 40 days, Yom V'Layla, which was the basis for the Cheshbon, and it's a very good Cheshbon. So why is the Erev Rav involved in that also? I mean, the Avodah Zorah part, we understand because the Mitzrayim was Shakur and Avodah Zorah. But the whole musig of an Erev Rav, I mean, there has to be a Sheirish Ravera that expresses itself in many levels. But to blame them, I mean, it's very, very nice to blame the Erev Rav for everything and so on and so forth. And they were the ones that did in Klal Yisrael. But to say over here, what exactly is it that the Erev Rav, a hemshech to what the Erev Rav is that it did, that's really something that we need to understand. What was the Sheirish Erev Rav brought into Klal Yisrael that was going to ruin things over here? So let's talk about this a little bit, and let's understand the Sheirish of the Inyan here. When we speak about Avodah Zorah versus Avodah Zorah versus Emuna. So the Pashta understanding is Avodah Zorah is Baal, Emuna is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avodah Zorah is is Baal Pa'or, Avodah Zaris. You know, Avodah Zaris are the Avodah Zaris, and Amun and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on and so forth. Avodah Zarah is called something that's dead. Chazal, in the same perek that they discuss Matan Torah, in the beginning of the perek, Omer Rabbi Akiva is the perek that discusses Matan Torah. The same perek deals Omer Rabbi Akiva Minayin Avodah Zarah Shemetame B'Masa. And so on, and then it goes into the fact that Avodah Zarah is a chemesim, it's tuma, and so on. The tuma of Avodah Zarah is the sheirish kilu of the perik over here. Valedavu, Reb Tzadik says always that the agadah that Chazal bring in are something that have a sheikhs of the perik. So the backdrop is a perik called Amar Bakiva, very interesting name of a perik, Amar Bakiva. And the backdrop is Tumas of Avodah Zarah, which is called Zivchei Mesim. It's a sheresh of Tuma. It's a Rabban in the Tuma, it's no Daraisik of Tuma, and that's what the perik's about. So let's understand. The Avodah Zarah is much deeper than the particular Elilim that Umas HaOlam came up with. In every histaklos in the Bria, there's the chaymer. In other words, the physical entity of the Bria. That's a metzius that we see, feel, hear, tap, and so on and so forth. Behind that metzius of chaymer, there's something that gives it its metzius. There's something that created it, gives it its properties, it gives it its ruach chaim, and so on. In other words, every single physical entity is a platform for the other. So just like, let's take an example by us, a person's brain is a very, very clear physical entity. It allows and demands a lot of research. You can sit and the whole field of neurology is devoted to discovering the mechanics of the meat that's called the brain. That is what a brain is. And yet we're all teufis that the seichel is something that rides on top of the brain. Within a brain, there's the mind. And within the mind, there's an neshama. We in as much as we see the brain and we understand that without the brain the mind does not find a place, we also say that the mind is not limited to the brain, but it's beyond it. The brain is a platform on which the mind exists or is present. That's Tfisa Amukamor. The Pasuk says it. Su'u marim enechem, pick up your head heavenwards. Well, so did the Goyim. The Goyim worshipped the sun, the Goyim worshipped the moon, the Goyim worshipped the stars. They called Oiv de Kachavim. The Pasuk says, Uru'u mi bara eila. But when you look at the sun and the moon and the stars, don't see the sun and the moon and the stars. See what, so where does all this come from? Where does the magnificent world come from? So emuna the first histaklus of a person is a tfisa chumrius. It's to be taifis the things for what they are, and then there is behind it. There's a tfisa of where does it come from? Avodah Zarah is the tfisa of the things the way they are, a limited tfisa. And therefore, I'm teifis what my hands feel, what my eyes see, and at a later generation, what my mind can comprehend. That's what my tfisa is, and I cut it at that point. All that exists is that which is, not more, not less, period. The tfisa of an emunah, of a Baal emunah is, so where does it come from? And I'm not going to have an answer to that. The word me is an unknown. Su'u marim enechem, uru'u mi bara eila, you know what? There is a someone. That someone will forever remain a question mark to my eyes, to my ears, to my nose. My eyes, ears, and nose will never be tofes that. But I can be tofes that there's something behind it. Just like I will never be tofes how the mind connects to the brain. But behind the brain, our top of the brain, so to speak, there's a mind. The same thing in the world, in the Bria around, behind it, is something beyond it. And that's the tremendous, precious drachim from Ovda Avodah Zarah and Ovda HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the reason why Avodah Zarah is called Zivchei Mesim. Dead is anything which has been defined is dead. That's it. This is it. There's not more to it. So just like an inanimate object, the entire expression of the inanimate object is as defined. This is a rock. It is so many inches by so many inches. It weighs so much. It has this color, the following minerals. That is a 100% description of a rock. A human being, a living person, I have some description. He's 6 foot tall. He weighs this much. He looks this way, that way, the other way. But there's more. There's more than what's on the scale and measured and described. Living is something that has in itself a nevia of something more than itself. Just like even a plant has the ability to grow and develop. That's an akuda that's nowhere in the description of how much chlorophyll and how much cellulose and how much wood is in it. It somehow goes beyond it. So Chaim is something which is greater than what's there. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called a Lekim Chaim, and Har Sinai specifically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as a living God. Ki lo ra'isim kol tmuna. You didn't see images, you saw Lekim Chaim. You saw a mountain which was a platform for something beyond it. Whereas Avodah Zarah are called Zivchei Mesim. And Avodah Zarah is what is. This is what you get. The god of the wind, so it's the wind, 100% wind. He blows, he's strong, he knocks over things. That's all there is. Sun is sun. So Avodah Zarah is Zivchei Mesim. It's the Mahalach of Misan Debriya, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mahalach of seeing things as Chaim, seeing things as coming from someplace. In Torah itself, Torah was given with two halakim. There's Torah Shebiksav, and there's Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebiksav, were Torah Shebiksav given alone, it would be a stira mineyubay. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unlimited, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Lekim Chaim, then how can he express the entire Chachma in X amount of letters? There are something like 300,000 letters from Breishis to Lein Kol Yisrael. The Cheshbon Shishim Ribui is using different tzuras of the letters, and so on. There's X amount of letters, X amount of words, X amount of vocabulary. The Torah can be described. It weighs a certain amount. It's long and it has a certain length and a certain width, and that's it. Aseres HaDibros was even less. Aseres HaDibros is 10 Dibros on a piece of stone. The stone is the ultimate Chaimer. If Torah is that in itself, all it is what is there, then Torah is dead, Chas v'Shalom. It's because any time I'm tefis something in its own mitzias period, then I have no, then I've limited it, and I've put it into the realm of Misa, Chas v'Shalom, rather than Chayim. Torah Shebaal Peh is the Nevi'ah. It's where life is flowing. It's where we perceive the pulsation of life within the Torah itself. The Peh is the instrument for Chiyus, and it's the instrument for Dibur. The Torah Shebaal Peh is the Torah that is that has in itself, it's the koyach achiyus within the Torah. The unlimited amount of pshatim, drushim, havanis, chidushim, are all the chelik of Torah Shebaal Peh. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Klal Yisrael, he told Moshe Rabbeinu is going to give the luchis, and the tzivui for the luchis itself was already the hoisev yemechot midaitoi. The hoisev yemechot midaitoi is not the pshat Moshe Rabbeinu's idea. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu had a great idea. It's the pshat that those words, shloish yamim, are not 3 days, but the word day has in itself a drasha. It's what is a day? Is a day a night and a day, or just a day? And the limud is amazing. Briyasa shel olam, we have ve'er ve'voke yom echad. The first day there was l'chur no erev, because when it said yehi oyer, that's a day, that's daylight, and yet there's a vahi erev ve'yvoke. In other words, hidden behind the day, we understand that there's an erev. The Torah tells us, you started by seeing the day, but there's an erev that comes before the day. The hester is the erev before, and the gilui is the yom. And there's no gilui without a hester behind it. In every yom that you see, there's an erev that you don't see. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the hoisev Moshe Mechad Midaitoi, is the sheirish of Torah Shebaal Peh, that's locked into Torah Shebaal B'Ksav. And it's what turns 10 limited stone dibris into Divrei Elokim Chayim. Chazal say, Tovim Doidecha Miyoyen. And it's a very, very interesting pasuk. It says, Tovim Doidecha Miyoyen. So Chazal say, Tovim Divrei Doidecha Miyena shel Torah. The Divrei Chachamim, Divrei Seifrim, are more arevim Takarish Baruch Hu than the Divrei Torah themselves. And not Divrei Torah, but it says Yena shel Torah. Let's understand this Chazal. It's funny. Klal Yisrael is telling you Takarish Baruch Hu, and that's why the Gemara Darshins, sometimes we start with a drasha, even though logically you should start with something that's a furish, I did also mi drasha chavivle. Yena shel Torah is the Torah Shebaal Peh that's locked into Torah. We've seen many times the Rambam that says Torah Shebaal Peh is the inyanim that had been kind of mitzvah, that's misinai, the decisions of Bes Nagadol on new issues that they had to use at Gimel Midas or Svara, and Gzeiris and Takonis. Yena shel Torah includes all the sedus of Torah. The things that we darshan, that are shayach to psukim, and so on and so forth. That is very chaviv. It's in a sense, it's more chaviv in Torah, because that's sort of the life force in Torah itself. The takonis that Chachamim made, we have to understand the gadlus of takonis that Chachamim made, and understand the oimek shebehem. Chazal, when you darshan a pasuk in a Torah, I'll give you an example. Let's say I ask a chaver of mine, I would like to treat you for supper, what would you like? Person says chicken. Fine. So, very clear, that's what he said, that's what I get for him. Let's say the person tells me, not mefurish, but he kind of hints at some things that he likes, some things he doesn't like, and I get the hint by what he said. So the other pshat is, I need to think into a little bit, you know, he didn't tell me before he wanted chicken, but I can figure it out from things he said, and so on and so forth. That's a deeper sense of what the person wants in that. Let's say the person doesn't tell me, but I say to myself, you know, I know my friend very well. This is what he would like. This is what he wouldn't like, this is what he would like. That is an extraordinary display of understanding the depth of the person. When a person has to tell me first, when I'm standing in the bakery and I want to buy something, I don't play games. If the person is not my friend, you want a pound of bread, pound of bread. Fine, that's it. A friend of mine, I would hint at things. I would, you know, I wouldn't, it's, if I get it, if I say, I want this, this, and this, but, you know, I say, ah, last time was really good. So the person chaps, probably was this, was that. But when I instinctively know the person, understand what are lerucho and what's not lerucho, then it's that is tapping into the ultimate sheirish of the person. The takanas of chazal, they're not only the pshat. I mean, we always think of it as half of it. That we understand, oh, they look around, they see there's a person this, there's a person that, and we should make a takana fiskon for that. There's another half to it. Divrei Seifrim, Shtelzach zu Torah. They are things that we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them. K'doishim tiskadashtem v'isem k'doishim. It's mayim rishonim and mayim achronim. In the kedusha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in Klal Yisrael, we understand that mayim rishonim and mayim achronim are l'rotzing of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The yeinah shel Torah is the oimek in the Torah. Chavivin doidecha, divrei doidecha. The Klal Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's doid. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's raya. It's when you're a friend with somebody, you understand something that hasn't been discussed at all, because that's the understanding of another person. We tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Chazal make takanis, that displays a certain reus, a certain doidus that is more chaviv than even the oimek kedosh pe in Torah. That's the aside of it. So the divrei chachamim and so on were things that were in the very, very sheirish of the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Torah. Nitzil Lameidim. So we have here the great divide between Avodah Zarah and Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the understanding of how there's a parallel to that in Torah Shebal Peh, Torah Shebiksav, and even in a bigger sense, Divrei Seifrim. The great machleikism between Stukim and Prushim were in this Nekuda. In other words, it wasn't just another kfira. It's the most shayrishtik inyan. It's not just the prati alachas. Well, if you don't, if mochas Hashavas means this, it's going to be this day, it's going to be that day, the other day. You're talking about a whole shayrish. Well, what was avodah zarah in the first bias was stuky biases in the second bias. The Cheta Egel carried in itself this nekuda. Since Moshe Rabbeinu, since Torah was given with the knech of Torah Shebe Alpeh in it, because that's the only way that it's divrei Elokim chayim, the only way that the Dvar Hashem has in itself a chiyus, it's going to carry itself over in the whole nisoyan between Avodah Zarah and Emunah. The Eruv Rav, who were Oivdei Avodah Zarah, weren't goyris that yoim. They weren't goyris the Torah Shebal Peh. It was the Eruv Rav were Mitzrayim who were Oivdei Avodah Zarah. So even though they shared the Avodah Zarah, obviously when they came to join Klal Yisrael, they knew they're going to have Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on, but they couldn't shed the panemius shaykhs with Avodah Zarah. The shaykhs that everything that you have begoli carries itself a hester. The Torah Shebiksav has a Torah Shebiksav behind it. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Arboim Yoim, the Yoim is defined by someone that has the ear to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants. That Yoim is Laila Koidem, and Ma, and he knows how to darshan it. They were Koy from that, and that's where the mistake came about. So the mistake that came about, it wasn't just b'mikra. This was HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed for a place to slip on in order to reflect something else. In the Toyas itself lay already the roots of what the problem was. The Torah Shebe, the Moshe Rabbeinu came down and he threw down the Luchas. Now, and he broke them. And we asked, like, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu break the Luchos? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu break the Luchos? And so on. So the Zayah says, and the Rabbeinu Mechai brings it down. He brings it down in his Lashon, but it's very similar in the Kuda. Bahi Shaita is Baruch Shein Luchin Avnai Davikad Misa. We have, in that moment, the Luchos were broken. The first ones were broken. The inon is yakral yodai v'nothis baru, and we know that that the luchas became heavy, and that's why they fell and broke. My timer, why did they become heavy? Begin the parchu asvin migoluchi avnin, because the letters flew off the stone luchas. Chazal also dashed on this, you know, that you have to be zayir in the tamchav in the shach talmudo. The pshat in this is, it's a dugma. Just like the stone is not, the oisius on the stone are not the stone, but there's something beyond the stone. Just like the muscle that's used, that is used frequently, is just like by a chai, there's a chai noisius atzmai, and when a person dies, he becomes very heavy, and when the Ruach Chaim goes out, the person is heavier than he was with the Ruach Chaim. When the Luchos lost their oisius, I mean, one could say the same thing. The Luchos, the oisius are the neshama of the Luchos, and oisius parochus meant that the oisius are not stone. They are the chayim inside the stone. And when you separate the two, when you take the life force out of the luchos, they become stone and they break. So the shviras haluchos is the tfisa that the luchos themselves, the words themselves as they are, is even. And that breaks. If you remove from it the koyach achius, which means there's yanika to something else, it's the drawing force for something much bigger than itself, then adarabah, the luchos become even and they collapse on their own weight, and that's why this is the siyum of Torah. The siyum of Torah is that it's a the siyum of Torah is le'enekol Yisrael, because that's where Torah shebiksav becomes mechuber with Torah Shebal Peh. The end of Torah is the beginning of Torah Shebal Peh. It's the bridge between the two. It's the chibur, and that's where that's how Moshe finishes with it. Stone that doesn't have a hemshich of Baal Peh breaks and shatters. So one dag is the etzim oisius on the stone. It's not the stone. The oisius come from someplace else, and they landed on the stone. And if the stone is not a platform for anything more than itself, the oisius are gone, and the stone remains stone. That was the shvira, and that's why Torah finishes with that. That's the chosemis of Torah. That's the seal of Torah. I want to talk about the inyan a little bit, barachava, in terms of hashkafa and so on. The struggle of our dayer with emuna is along a lot of the same borders. In other words, there's an attitude of, if it doesn't say, then the Torah has nothing to say about it. It doesn't say mefurish nalach etzaser, so you can't answer that which doesn't say that's also. The idea that a big person's das himself, a big person's understanding, has in itself the quality of Torah, is also debatable. Seder, he thinks this way, I think this way. It's open. In halacha, it is a process where you have a Sanhedrin says this and this way. But the fact that the person is that somebody that I genuinely look at as an Adam Gadol, as a Isha Lekim, his attitudes, his minhagim, his sensitivities carry no weight because it doesn't say anywhere. It doesn't say. The Klal Yisrael as a whole developed the minhag, a certain attitude, a certain framework. Yireyim and Shleimim that developed a certain attitude. Well, doesn't say. So we're not stukim Baruch Hashem, not stukim. So it doesn't say it not only not in Bavli, but doesn't say it in Tanakh, the computer search Bavli in Yerushalmi and Tosefta Mechilta, doesn't say it either. So it's batel. If that's a person's attitude, then he's turned Torah back, he's turned the clock back to Avodah Zarah. Because basically, if you tefis Torah as a guf without a neshama, then basically it's Avodah Zarah. Because that's the nature of Avodah Zarah. The nature of Avodah Zarah is you froze it. It's not divrei lekim chayim. It's zivchei meisim. So this is it, not more, not less. Look at Chazal. The name of the perek that talks about Matan Torah is Omer Reb Akiva. It's a strange name. We have sometimes a perek. Gamliel Reb Akiva is the Shayush Torah Al Peh, and there's a stress on it. Omer Reb Akiva. That's the name of the perek. Omer Reb Akiva. And the first thing is he discusses the tumah of Avodah Zarah. Whether it's tumas nida, whether it's tumas masa, whether it's tumas this. In other words, it belongs, Avodah Zarah belongs to the world of the dead. And Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu was hoisev daitoi, it belongs to the world of chayim. You can't lock Torah in a cabinet and say, dayech mashasa Torah. There's kedushim to you. What is kedusha? There's chavivin daidecha. Chavivin divrei seifrim. Miyena shal Torah. Adarabah. The sensitivity that a gadol has, the sensitivity a klal Yisrael as a klal has, the sense that a person himself has, technically it's mutter, but libi nekev. I don't like it. I don't like it. That's the sheirish of Torah. The chet of the eagle started because the tefisa in Torah was, if this is what he said, this is what's it. Finished. No, deher, but what is yoim? That was the sheirish. From that to an eagle was an instant, because it's the same thing. You take Torah, you make an eagle out of it. If you carefully make the gedarim around Torah, no further shall Torah go. Torah goes from the beginning of Erechaim to the end of Chayshim Mishpat, a lot of simonim, and that's it. But that's it. Torah is there's nothing more that will come out of Torah. It's categorized, it's organized, and that's it. That's being Teifus Torah as Luchas Avonim. And when Moshe Rabbeinu deherred it as Evan, that Klai Yisrael as Evan, Moshe Rabbeinu, it snapped it. That was also Midaitoi. And at the Torah ends where HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaveyochel shakes Moshe Rabbeinu's hands and says, In the most damning act that you ever did, you are mechavel l'daita shakadosh baruch hu. Stone that comes from kadosh baruch hu, but stone, it shatters. It's stone, it carries itself a life force. That's when it came from kadosh baruch hu. When the lekim chayim midaber mitoch lavasej, that's where you have chiyus. That's where you have a kadosh baruch hu. And a frozen piece of stone is avodah zarah, even if it has luchas in it, and it has no schus kiyum. The second luchas are described in Dvarim, which is also the chelik of Torah that starts with the Divrei Moshe and so on. And that's the pshat in Chazal, that in luchas shnias we were zeicher to Torah Shebal Peh, to all in Yonim, that we didn't have luchas shnias. I don't think it means that we didn't have it in shnias. Klal Yisrael lost it in luchas shnias, because they you see from the way they were mekabel it, that they didn't deher drushes and agadas. So b'meila klap at Klal Yisrael, they never received it, because they took Yom as literal and didn't dash the drusha. With the second luchas, we now understand that Torah includes in itself all the divrei chacham as well. And this is it's it, it sort of speak Parshas Kisisa or Lucas Shnius is the Matan Torah of Torah Shebal Peh as well. Not only Torah Shebal Peh. Again, when we always keep thinking of it in its limited sense. Torah Shebal Peh is not brachas to uksin. It's to hold the hair that Torah is the body for something living within it. And every time a person learns something, he needs to keep asking, what does it mean? What is it, Durim? How to understand it? And where does the Ruach of Torah extrapolate itself to? How does this go further? What are the things that are similar? What are the things that if there's a sensitivity for this, then this doesn't feel right? The chvivus of Divrei Doidim is the chvivus for the chius itself versus just the dvarim themselves. If a person is toifus Torah that way, he understands that all that he has, that his eyes see, that his ears have heard, that he already has understood, is only a chetimtza. It's all the end piece of the Ruach HaChaim that's Nevi'ah in Torah. That Be'etzem Torah is a certain endlessness mitzad its Nevi'ah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there we say, V'atem Advekim B'Hashem Elokeichem Chaim Kulchem Hayoyim. If the person is dovuk to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the Torah, the person declares that the Torah is the body, and within it there's a life force of the Dvar Hashem, that person is Chaim Kulchem Hayoyim.